We want to thank all of you who came out to the musical program the other night on Good Friday evening. It was good to see you there, and I think things went very well that evening, and at the end of our service, we're going to hear, I think, one of the songs from that, and that's how we're going to conclude the service today, so there won't be another hymn, just one that they're going to do as part of the closing part of the service. So, we are turning in our Bibles today to John chapter 20, and we are going to pick up the story here at verse 19. Actually, if you look at chapter 20, verse 18, you'll notice something, that Mary went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he said these things to her. Well, she's not the only one who would see the Lord on Easter Sunday, all right? Let's pick up the story right there with verse 19. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were glad that they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them, and he said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. And if you withhold forgiveness from any of them, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. And so the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see his hands, the marks of the nails, and place my finger into the marks of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them, although the doors were locked. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have seen, have you believed because you have seen me, but blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." That's you and I, by the way. Notice, Christ said people who have not seen but yet believe are blessed. All right? Don't forget that. That's for you and me today. Anyway, now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. That first Sunday long ago was a shocking day because so many incredible things happened on that day. The women went down to finish the work that Joseph and Nicodemus had started. They had tried to prepare the body of Jesus Christ for burial, but were cut short because of some of the restrictions of the Jewish people. But now on the first day of the week, the ladies are going down there to anoint his body and so forth, and you know all the different events that began to happen. But one of the most amazing ones was when Mary was there at the tomb, and she looked around, and she saw all the evidence of the resurrection right there inside the tomb. She saw the grave clothes, just like Peter and John did later also. And yet, she saw something far more. She saw not only angels who spoke to her, but she also saw the risen Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ told her to go back and tell the disciples that he was alive, but he also told Mary to tell them one other thing. And that one other thing was, tell them that I am going to be ascending into heaven. Now, not right that day, but he was already getting the disciples prepared on Easter Sunday for the day when he was going to ascend and go back to heaven again. And of course, we know that that happened, even as the scriptures tell us in the first chapter of the book of Acts. So Mary went and she told the men that were there the news. And if you read some of the other gospel narratives, when the women came with their various accounts of having met the risen Jesus, the disciples were not even ready at that point to believe. It wasn't just Thomas who would have some doubts about whether this really could have happened. They had to check it out because, you see, back in this culture, when women gave testimony, it was not acceptable. A woman's testimony didn't even count in court. They were not considered to be reliable as witnesses. Wrong, of course, but nonetheless, that was the case. But anyway, she saw the Lord and she announced that to the disciples, even if it was not going to be readily accepted. She said, I have seen the Lord. That's amazing, isn't it? Now, when we look in on what happened later that night, we find that the disciples are now seeing the same thing. This latter part of the 20th chapter that we're going to look at is all about two meetings. They both happened in a house. They didn't happen in a church service somewhere. They met in a house and they were hiding in the house with locked doors. That is a very important thing because they were afraid. They were still thinking that maybe what had happened to Jesus might also happen to them. And he had not yet appeared to them publicly as he was about to do in just a few moments. But can you imagine? Here you are in this house in locked doors, and you know that Jesus has died, and now all of a sudden, there he is. People have tried to play this down. Some people have said, well, maybe he was hiding in a closet somewhere, and he could have slipped out and surprised the people. No, that wasn't it. They knew who was in that house. They knew it was all the disciples that were there. They knew what was happening there. They knew they had this thing locked up tight so that there would be no surprises, no threats either on their own life or their own existence. But all of a sudden, there he is. And you notice when the Bible talks about this, it tells us basically two things. Number one, Jesus Christ is now seen as being fully human. You can see him with your eyes. He was not just a phantom like some people tried to teach throughout the centuries. They said, well, his body didn't really rise. They just saw his spirit. Well, how often do you see spirits show up? They saw him and they also were able to touch him. It wasn't just Thomas that needed to touch Jesus, but you see from the first part of the chapter here that he invited all of them. Verse 20, when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And the disciples were glad they saw the Lord. So they saw him with their own eyes. They were able to touch him. We know from another gospel account of this same event that one of the things that he did, he even asked them if there was any food in the house, so that he could eat something, not because he was so starvingly hungry, but because of the fact he wanted to show them, I'm real. I can eat food just like you do. I want you to get this very clearly in your mind because you see, Jesus Christ is God and he is also one who now is fully human. Of course, he was always fully human, but now he has a body that will never die again, and a body that can just suddenly appear in a room even when everything's locked up. They were surprised when they saw him come and they saw his presence there. No wonder twice in that first meeting in the house, he tells them the same thing. Peace be with you. And you know, the Bible mentions that twice, and I think that's rather significant too, because throughout the Bible, when the Bible talks about peace, it talks about peace in primarily two ways. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ and he is your personal Savior, you have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. God is no longer against you. God has recognized that because of your relationship to Christ, you are at peace with him. No longer any antagonism or anything of that sort. The wrath of God does not abide on you because you are at peace with God through Jesus Christ. That's one way the Bible talks about peace. The other way is when we experience God's presence within us. And of course, that comes with the arrival of the Holy Spirit in our life. That's why the Bible, when it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, talks about love, joy, peace. The peace of God is in our hearts. Wherever Christ is found, there the peace of God can be found too, even in our very hearts. In this case, of course, this was very special because they not only people could come to know him in that way by the presence of the Holy Spirit, as we'll see in just a moment here. But on top of that, they actually saw him. They experienced his presence. No wonder they had peace. He was right there with them. But you notice, at this initial meeting on Sunday night, he told them, "I now have a work for you to do." You know, the Bible gives us the Great Commission in several different places. It's in Matthew, it's in Mark, it's in Luke, it's in John, it's in the book of Acts. Five different books of the Bible contain the Great Commission. Here is one example of that in the Gospel of John. What does Jesus tell him, the disciples here, in verse 21? He said to them, "Peace with you, as the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." That's a great commission right there. They knew that Jesus had come now from the Father to be the Savior of the world, to die on the cross, to win the victory over sin and death and hell. He had also sent them out in the past to go out and preach, but now they had an even greater message to bring, a message about the risen Christ also. And he said, "Now that's what I want you to do. God sent me to be a witness. Now you be a witness." And you know what? That's the commission that is true for every one of us too. Every Christian is a witness. And you know, I was thankful that we could witness this morning, but I'll tell you something, I was doubly thankful that there were three other people there who could confirm that witness and share the same witness that I was sharing. Because that's what it's all about. It's not just about preachers telling the gospel. It's not just about evangelists telling the gospel. It's about every Christian telling the good news because it's real. Jesus is alive. He is fully divine, but he is fully human, but with a supernatural body that will never die again and can do all sorts of things, can suddenly appear. The people from the road to Emmaus saw that happen. They were talking to him on the road, and he shared the gospel with them. They invited him in for a meal, and when he sat down and he began to pray, what happened? All of a sudden, boom, he was gone. He was missing, just like that. How could that happen? It's a new and glorified body that we're all going to have someday. It's amazing. People say, "Man, with a big place like heaven and all the people there, how am I ever going to see my friends?" Well, don't worry. God has ways that you can get places real fast if he needs to have you there. There's no problem with that. You'll have a brand new glorified body that is coming. So, "As the Father sent me, I'm sending you." And in order to do the work of being an evangelist and a fellow witness as a Christian, I'm giving you now already, before Pentecost, before the big outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the church, I'm already giving to you the Holy Spirit right now. He breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Why is that so important? Because we need God's presence in our heart, and that's how he makes his presence known to us, by the Holy Spirit living in our heart. But also, in order to be faithful as witnesses, we need the work of the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit's interaction with the witness that we bring, nothing is going to happen. We can share the gospel, we can do the best that we can do it as kindly and as friendly as possible, but unless God, by the Holy Spirit, takes that word and brings the awareness of the truth of what is being said into someone's heart, people cannot believe. The natural man, what? Received not the things of God. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned, the Bible says. It takes the Holy Spirit of God to make this happen. Now the Holy Spirit is given to these disciples gathered right here in this home. And you notice there's one other thing too. He said, in addition to that, now when you go out and you bring that message, you're going to be able to tell people, based on what happens, whether or not their sins are forgiven them. You say, well, how can I know if somebody's sins are forgiven? Well, you know, you and I can't look into somebody's heart, but we can tell if somebody has given their life to Jesus Christ, and if they are now seeking to live for Christ with his help. And you know, when you see that happening, when you see the fruit of salvation begin to appear in their lives, you realize that something wonderful has happened, that Christ has come in and he has saved them. And you know, wherever there is salvation that is found, there is also what? The forgiveness of sins are also found. The Bible says here, if you forgive sins, they are forgiven. If you cannot announce the forgiveness of sins, they're not forgiven. Now, does that mean that we have some kind of special knowledge like that? No, not in the sense that Jesus knew what was in men's hearts, but we can tell people whether or not their sins are forgiven based on what? What they have done with Jesus. If they have received Jesus Christ, I can tell you this morning without the shadow of a doubt that if you have received Jesus Christ into your life as your personal Savior, your sins are forgiven you, past, present, and future.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The living Christ affirms it. And you know, that's the good news. That's the gospel. And a lot of people are going around wondering about sins and about the past and their failures and all of this stuff. And you know, when you put it under the blood, you find out that you begin to have the sense of forgiveness and the assurance of salvation as well. Well, the meeting was over. They all went home, I guess, to wherever they were going to go. But 8 days later, actually, the way the Jews figure out time here, it was the next Sunday night. Isn't that interesting? When is the New Testament disciples gathering together now? Did they gather together on the Sabbath day? Nope. They're gathering together on the first day of the week, which is what? The Lord's Day, Sunday. Okay? And in between the two Sunday night meetings, they ran into old Thomas. And they said, Thomas, you're not going to believe what happened, man. We were at the house the other night, and all the guys were down there, you know, and we saw Jesus. He said, I don't believe it. Come on. What do you take me for? I'm from Missouri. I have to be shown. You know, there are some people that always say that. I come from the South. You know, you're not going to fool me with all that slick talk. Well, listen. Thomas didn't believe it, and he said, I want proof. I want to see the nail marks. I want to be able to put my hand by his side and feel where he was speared by that soldier that speared him with the spear that was at the cross there. I want to see that firsthand. I want to actually see him, and I want to see that it's not some other person that has been trumped up to be the Savior. I want to see the proof in his own body. Well, Thomas wasn't ready to believe. But let's give Thomas a little credit. Number one, the next time the group got together, Thomas was there. If something like that was going to happen, he's not going to miss it the second time. He was there. But you know what? He wasn't disappointed either, because the next thing he knew, there was Jesus again. He had showed up now at the second meeting. And look at what it says here. 8 days later, his disciples were inside. Thomas was with him, although the doors were locked. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." He's bringing the same good news of peace, same message. But now he turns to Thomas. And he says to him, "Thomas, come here. See my hands. Here, feel my side. See if it's not me." Thomas saw Jesus Christ alive and well, and made the necessary confirmation, I believe, that he wanted to make. Actually, it never says whether he did or he didn't. But Jesus didn't just instruct him to do that. The tenses here in the original text are commands. Jesus commanded him, "Come here, touch, feel, check it out for yourself." And you know what? He gave one of the greatest testimonies in the whole Bible about Jesus Christ and who he is. He said, "My Lord and my God." He knew at that moment who Jesus was. You know, the Gospel of John is wonderful because it starts out in chapter 1 telling us who Jesus is. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." You find out at the beginning that Jesus is God at the start of the Gospel of John. And now as we come to the tail end of the Gospel of John, we have this amazing testimony again to the full deity of Jesus Christ. Jesus is not just a man. He was not just an earthly teacher. He is the Son of God. He is God himself. And he is the Savior of the world. He is the Lord. See, touch. Thomas gave that wonderful confession, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said something interesting, though. He said, "You have seen and you believe, but blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." And, you know, this is a very important thing, because Christ didn't intend just for a handful of disciples meeting in a house to be able to believe. He also wanted people to believe throughout the years that would come. And that's why it's so important that he gave his blessing even there that night on the future of all the people who would come in years down the road who would also believe. Jesus said they are blessed. God will bless them because this is something that is glorifying to God, this faith, this belief. Jesus said, "They haven't seen, but they've believed. Blessed are they also." You feel blessed today? You should, because I'll tell you, if you know Jesus Christ, you are blessed of God, and you will share not just the blessings of this life as a Christian, but you are going to share the blessings that will last forever in the new and glorious future that he has for all those that are his people. Now, John says, "I wrote my gospel, and I put some signs and wonders in my gospel." He said, I could have written many of them. I could have told so many stories about Jesus and all the things that he did and all the signs that he did. If I had written it all down, it would have been like the Encyclopedia Britannica. It would have been a whole volumes and volumes and volumes that would have been necessary to write about all the stuff that happened. But he said, I couldn't do all of that, but he said, I wrote some of the signs that happened. If you study the four Gospels, you will find that there are 35 different accounts of miracles or signs that Jesus gave while he was here on earth. Of those 35, 7 of them are found in the Gospel of John. John only wrote about 7 of them. But you can find a good study Bible and they can tell you what those 7 miracles are, or those 7 signs that Jesus did that are in the Gospel of John. And John is just saying that there is all kinds of evidence, and not only what we're telling you right here at the conclusion of my gospel, but on top of that, I can tell you all through the whole book about things that show us again and again and again that Jesus is all that we said he is. He's alive. He's a living Savior. All the evidence points to it. I mean, come on, at one point we know from other scriptures that he appeared to 500 people at one time on a hill in Galilee. They all saw him. 500 people. Boy, how would you like to have that many witnesses to something? Just think, if you were taken to court for some reason or other and you had 500 witnesses stand up in your defense, you'd say, I think that'd be pretty convincing. Well, it was pretty convincing. Sometimes he would appear to just one. Sometimes he would appear to the 12. Sometimes he would appear to hundreds. But you know what? A minimum of 16 different times Jesus Christ appeared in the Bible to people after he was officially declared to be dead by the Roman government, by the soldiers who were there, and even by people like Joseph of Arimathea, who took the dead body and brought it to the tomb, who knew beyond the shadow of a doubt that he was really dead, but they all, just days later, saw him alive. How can that be? Well, it's because of the power that is his. You know, there's a little account in the Bible here that not many people remember, but they should, because in the book of Matthew, there is a wonderful little account here, and I just want to read this to you once. We find there that after Jesus Christ rose from the dead and proved that he was alive, he now had others come also who were raised from the dead, not with new glorified bodies yet. They'll get that someday. But they were raised from the dead after Jesus rose from the dead. Listen to this. This is what it says. The earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs were opened. And many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. Wow. Imagine that. You're going down the street. You just went to somebody's memorial service a couple of days ago. You knew this person was dead. You saw their body laying in the casket. You knew that they were no longer with us, supposedly. And all of a sudden, here you are. You're walking down the street, and there is that very person right there alive. Jesus Christ is not only risen from the dead, he is the first fruits of them also. And it's such a tiny little thing that is just tucked into Matthew's gospel there. A lot of people don't realize it's even in there, but you know what? It is. And the Bible tells us once again that this too is true. I want to say one last thing in defense of the man who had the same name I did, Thomas. If you look at John 21, the very next chapter after which I've been preaching today, in John 21, verse 1 and 2, we read this. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, and there are also named some of the other disciples that were also there when Jesus appeared at the Sea of Galilee there. Why is that so significant? Peter said, I don't even know this guy. Three times he denied the Lord Jesus Christ, that he even knew him, let alone that he believed in a resurrection. But now, after all of these things that happened, when Jesus showed up at the Sea of Galilee one day, the disciples were there too. And you know what? The first one mentioned on the list is Peter. Who's the second one? Thomas. He said, I won't believe unless I see it. I can't possibly accept anything that crazy. But you know what? After he saw Jesus Christ that night in that house, he not only believed, but he continued with the Lord. And we see that right here in the very next chapter. Peter was there. John was there. It's amazing to think that some of the very people that had been the most doubting of anybody are now right there in the group with him. By the way, every one of the disciples but one died a martyr's death. The one who didn't was John. But John was one who was boiled in oil and was put in prison on Patmos Isle at the place where he wrote the great book of Revelation. All the other 11, including Thomas, died for the Lord. They were that convinced of the resurrection. You say, well, how did Thomas die? The testimony of history is that Thomas died in the nation of India, where he was proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ in that place. He died by being speared to death by some of the antagonistic people who heard him preaching that day. He died as a martyr for the Lord. He wasn't going to believe if he didn't see, you know, the hole in Jesus' side. Well, that's how Thomas himself died. He was speared to death. But you know what? To his very end of his life, he was not Thomas the doubter. He was Thomas the devoted, just like all the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ were. They all believed because they had all seen and they knew the truth. Jesus is living. The only one thing that matters right now, and that is to make sure that you have Jesus Christ living in you. It's not enough to know the historical facts that he is alive. You need to know that he is living inside of you. He is living in your heart. I hope that's true of every one of you, because that's what Easter Sunday is all about. It's about not following some religious teacher who came along and died and, you know, is long gone. No. It's about believing in someone who is alive and is available to come and to live inside your life and take over your life and give you a brand new life better than anything that anybody could ever have. It's all because Jesus lives. I'll tell you the same thing we told that lady this morning. Don't miss out on this. Don't, with all of the efforts that you're putting forth to earn your way into heaven by good works, don't fall for that line. Receive Jesus and the free gift of salvation by receiving him into your heart. You know what? When you do that, you'll never get a deal like that one. It's free. It's for you. It's for me. Thank God. Jesus lives today.